Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Dad and Luann, we're going to be tackling an incredibly difficult topic. And because of that, I want to warn parents right off the bat that you probably want to find another place for your little children today.
In fact, if you need to even turn that radio dial because you have little ears in your car right now, remember you can catch up at drjamesdobson.org or at our Family Talk app. But you're right, Ryan, as much as we don't like to talk about this dark issue today, Dr. Dobson, we really have to because it is literally destroying our families.
Well, Ryan and Luann, we live in a culture today that is just simply awash with images that promote a distorted and, I think, sometimes satanic view of sexuality. Sexual expression between a man and a wife is one of the most beautiful and meaningful of all God's creations, but through pornography and obscenity, we have twisted that understanding into something that is barely recognizable.
Doctor, I've actually heard you call pornography a social cancer. I can't really think of a better term. And as we indicated, it's devastating families.
Well, it is a cancer, and it is addictive and progressive in the way that cancer is. It's not unusual for a 13-year-old boy just at the beginning of his sexual experience to stumble across pornography and then get hooked on it, and it can hold him for a lifetime. I'm convinced that some pornography, and most of it, is for certain individuals more addictive than cocaine or heroin, because one exposure can do it. And then you've got a lifetime of struggle. It is also very, very difficult to treat. And it often leads to death. You know, I'm telling our listeners that when you read in the newspaper about children being sexually assaulted and murdered, when you hear of women being raped, you can be sure that pornography played a role somewhere. It's in the house. It's in the garage. It's in the car. It's someplace in that individual's life because it has that impact. And it destroys the sexual basis for a marital relationship. I mean, there is nothing that a woman can do to herself to even begin to compete with what airbrushed nudity out of the pornography industry can produce. I mean, she can never compete with that. So it is dangerous and it is terrible, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, to help us do that, Dad, we're joined by three gentlemen who really are on the front lines of this battle.
Well, I am very pleased to introduce them to our listeners. Those who have been listening to me for many years are acquainted with them because I just love them both. Here in the studio is my great friend, Dr. Jerry Kirk. He's the founder of Pure Hope, an organization that's committed to seeing sexual exploitation of children and adults, for that matter, to see it stamped out of our culture. They also provide Christians with help in living in this highly sexualized culture. Dr. Kirk is also the author of many books and is the co-chairman of the Religious Alliance Against Pornography, called REP. And I was a member of that for many years. Dr. Kirk was also the senior pastor of College Hill Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and as a matter of fact, took on the pornography industry in the city of Cincinnati. And you pretty well led that effort, didn't you, to get rid of the porn shops? That was before the internet. Describe it.
Jim, Cy Leese was our sheriff, and he led the fight. And what I did is help build a team to get behind him to help move the battle forward. I had served as chairman of the Billy Graham Executive Committee. And when I discovered what pornography was doing to people, I brought the executive committee back together and I said, are you concerned about what pornography is doing to some of your people? And, yeah. and are you concerned enough to come back together as a group? And every one of them said yes. And so the team in Cincinnati has continued. That team then founded the National Coalition, which has become Pure Hope. And we're just thrilled that Rick Schatz has led us these last 10 years and that Noel Boucher has become the president of Pure Hope.
Now, you just did my job for me because you have introduced the other two guests that we have here. Rick Schatz has been with me in the studio on a number of occasions, and the new president of Pure Hope is Noel Boucher, who gave priority to his family today and is not here to be with us. But you are there by phone, I think. Right, Noel?
I am here and privileged to be here with you by phone from Dallas, Texas.
And you have just recently assumed that responsibility as president of Pure Hope. Explain why you accepted that responsibility. You're an attorney. You are a speaker. You had plenty on your plate. Why have you joined this team?
Well, first, let me say what an honor it is to even be offered this role and really this mantle. As I said to you, I'm truly not only in the presence of giants, but standing on the shoulders of giants, and it's an amazing opportunity. And a watershed moment for me came about 4 years ago now when I had some conversations with Rick Schatz and was impressed by the passion and the energy behind this mission. But God really began to show me the connections between the trafficking of women and children into pornography, the trafficking of pornography into homes across this country and across the world, indeed now even into the hands through smartphones of children. And all these dots have been connected for me, and it's really that has brought me here and moved me to dedicate my life to this.
Rick, you heard my introduction. I called pornography a cancer that leads to death and addiction and marital problems. Did I overstate it? Explain. I know the answer to it, but explain for our listeners why this is something that we really need to fight, because many people in our culture consider it a victimless crime.
Right. Jim, I wish you had overstated the case, but you simply haven't. We see the devastation of this issue every day. And I would also say this, the thing that we've seen over the years has been the movement from just the focus on pornography to the whole sexualization of the culture. It's the sexualized messages of the culture, often that are much more subtle than pornography itself, that is creeping into the lives not just of the culture in general, but in the church, in the lives of Christians who are compromised in their decision-making, in their following of Christ in their lives in terms of sexual purity.
And in their witness.
Well, absolutely. The world is looking at the church saying, does the gospel really make a difference? Mm. And when the church looks so much like the world in terms of divorce rates, in terms of the breakdown of family, in terms of our young people and their sexual behavior, the world is saying, you preach the gospel. You say the gospel has power to change people's lives. And they look at us and say, that's a figment of your imagination. Mm-hmm. That's why Pure Hope spends 95% of its time in churches and Christian schools educating and discipling God's people to lead lives of sexual purity for the glory of Jesus.
Jerry, you know, when you and I are working together, we used to despair over the fact that pastors often would not address this issue. Is all through their congregations. And the pastors have to know that.
Yeah.
And yet many of the pastors themselves had a problem with it.
Well, not only did they have a problem, but Jim, a lot of them were threatened to deal with something so personal, so private, and they feared the response of their people. And that's a tragedy. And what I want to say to every pastor listening, to every Christian listening, to share with your pastor, encourage your pastor to be open and free to talk about these issues because their people are wrestling with them. They're struggling with them.
I guarantee you, in any congregation, it's all over the place, especially with the internet now being so accessible. You know, again, when you and I started working together, we talked about these porn shops where people would have to sneak in there and then bring some material out in a brown paper bag. They don't have to do that anymore.
No.
They just go in their office and close the door. And or watch late at night when the wife is asleep.
Well, and every teenager, Jim, you know what happens when the hormones begin to jump.
No, I think I remember that.
Yeah. and then we've got this material available anonymously to every teenager in America. And those that don't have access to it, their friends do, and they say, have you seen this? Mm-hmm. And it becomes a means of popularity, a means of influence in the lives of other teenagers.
Here is the sad thing. One of the many sad things associated with pornography and obscenity is that the people who are addicted to it are themselves sad. I mean, there are so many men that I know who would love to get this off his back. It is like an addiction to a drug. And last Sunday, I talked to a man who just said, I'm struggling, I'm trying to figure out how to deal with he didn't call it pornography, but that's what he meant.
Right.
And it breaks my heart because it is really tough to treat and to escape from.
Yeah, we had a conversation with a dad just recently, which, you know, sadly, we have this conversation frequently. Father sharing with us how his 9-year-old son was exposed to porn, in this case, at a friend's house, another 9-year-old boy. And that obviously rocked their world. It set things into really a tailspin for their son. They didn't discover what the problem was until a couple weeks of depressed behavior, sullenness had set in. And, you know, the thing with this particular story that jumped out at me is the response. Number one, the parents continued to lovingly probe, to ask questions, to inquire, to engage with their son, and made clear that God forgives anything we've done. He forgives every sin. That's why Jesus came into the world. And the son's response in this case was, I don't think he forgives everything. And that's, I think, one of the problems, of course, with this whole thing is it is so secretive and it cuts so deeply, especially to a 9-year-old, a child, to their core of who they are. The shame and the guilt become so great that it gets buried. Now, the positive in a story like that is that it actually came to light then, because the real tragedy is when you talk to a 40, 50-year-old man who had the same thing happen, and you're talking about decades of secrecy, which is where the power of the sin really resides. But I think it's one thing that, you know, as we hear stories like that, we communicate it because parents need to know that. They need to know this is when your kids are going to be exposed to it. I mean, in the mobile age, that's when it's going to happen, and that's how it's going to happen. It's going to happen not in a magazine. It's going to happen on a screen where that's going to be incredibly graphic stuff, incredibly graphic.
Jerry, going back again to the beginning of our relationship, which was in 1986, and I was on the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography, and as a pastor, you came and you spoke at my request, and so that's where our friendship started. But you told a story in that era. I asked you to share it on the air and in many different contexts about a family in your church that really weighed heavily on your heart and caused you to be in this fight.
Yes, Jim. It is not easy to be a pastor when you see what pornography and sexual exploitation has done to someone. You're referring to one specific story, and there were many, many stories, but, you know, this young girl sought me out and shared the story, and she said to her dad, because she had been violated, she said to her dad, "You cannot protect me anymore, can you, Daddy?"
That broke his heart, too, didn't it?
Yeah, and Jim, I love the fact that we're hitting on two themes. And one is how serious sexual exploitation and brokenness, especially related to pornography, but how serious they are. And the other is the power of Jesus Christ and his love and his cross and his resurrection and his life breaking into our lives. In other words, we have the privilege of talking to people every day. We know a Savior. We know one who can heal you. It is not easy. It's a challenge. It's difficult. But Jim, I don't believe people will get in this battle for the Lord's honor, for sexual purity, against pornography, unless they have a sense of the brokenness that it produces.
And a sense of the victory in Christ that can be wrought. No sin is beyond the forgiveness and the power of the gospel to transform lives.
Ryan, you speak all over the country, and you're meeting a lot of people. Are you running into this problem out there?
Yeah, unfortunately I am. I wish I wasn't, but it's just everywhere. And this morning, I heard from a friend of mine, their second grader started a new school, and he met a friend, and he was excited that he's got a new friend. Well, he came home a couple days later, having learned all kinds of words that deal with sexuality that he never had heard before, doesn't know the meaning of. And now in the second grade, his parents are saying, "What do we do?"
It saturates the culture. Mm-hmm. Your mom and I, Shirley and I, were child surfing and came face to face with hardcore obscenity. I mean, the sex act was occurring right on the screen. And this is, we don't take HBO and we try to stay away from that. And we ran smack dab into it. And I change a channel so fast that I don't even remember which channel it was. But that is an intrusion into, cable and broadcast television right here in Colorado Springs.
Which just points out, Doctor, as you said, when it is an addiction, you have so much trouble getting rid of it. It's chasing you down. As much as you try to run away from it, it is there at every corner. Doctor, it reminds me of that verse in Genesis where it says, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." That's exactly what we're describing here.
It is, and I do want to say to every man listening and to every woman listening, there is hope in Jesus Christ. That's why we've taken Pure Hope. I mean, I want to tell you, we are prepared to move into the future through Noel and through Rick, with the power of God and of the gospel. And that's why I'm so thankful. I mean, it's a terrible problem. It's much worse than when you and I started, Jim.
It really is. We've lost ground the whole way.
But it's time for God's people to rise up and follow sexual purity in their own lives and then share it with the others in their congregation and with the young people. And Pure Hope can help.
You know, I just, on this end, Dr. Dobson and Dr. Kirk, heard you say and talk about the momentum you saw with your engagement in the 80s, opposing pornography and really shepherding leaders to come together on that. And then you mentioned the decline that we've seen. What in your, from your perspective, caused that? What can help young parents like me understand why we are where we are today in 2012?
In the mid-80s, Ronald Reagan was president, and he had an influence that I think affected the whole culture. For one thing, he approved the creation of the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. And then he signed a number of bills, and the Congress signed 26 changes in the law that helped to control pornography. But then two things happened. One is that the internet came along, and you know, there was no holding it back. You couldn't even pass laws that would make it difficult for the hardcore pornographers to do what they wanted to do, because the Supreme Court would not have permitted that. The other thing is that, sorry to say this, and I hope that it won't sound too political to people, but President Bill Clinton was elected, and he essentially eliminated the effort within the Department of Justice to bring lawsuits and to limit the spread of pornography. Those two things together, I think, did us a lot of damage, and we have seen it in the last 4 years with President Obama.
Mm-hmm. Noel, what's your take on this?
Well, I think obviously the internet in the early 90s and moral decline. This is a spiritual issue, ultimately, are huge factors. I agree wholeheartedly. And as an attorney, there's another thing that really jumps out at me in this whole kind of 30-year history. And in the 1988, California Supreme Court came down with a decision that called the Freeman case that essentially legalized pornography production. And I think one thing that's really important about that is before the internet started, it gave a green light to production of pornography. So what it did is increase production, and then all of a sudden 93, 94 hit, and web browsers come into every home. Now you've got the perfect distribution channel. So those two things together, and then spiritual malaise and decline, really come together to create this tsunami. And it's kind of, you know, it will make you despair if you just focus on that. But obviously we serve a Lord who is a God of hope, and we also serve a Lord who, it says in Scripture, will establish justice in the earth. And it's one thing that really gives me great hope and enthusiasm as we go across the country, as we host interns, as we connect with young leaders on college campuses, is there's a generation that says, we're not going to take this anymore. Mm-hmm. They're starting to see the sexual exploitation inherent in pornography. They're starting to see the connections between the pornography industry and pornography and porn itself and sex trafficking and exploitation of women and children. And they're saying, we're going to drive change. And I think that's something that really gives me hope, because, you know, we think about the millennials and often, you know, as a parent myself, we start wringing our hands and we're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, these kids grew up with Facebook. They're going to be monsters. And that's all they've known is this world that's mobile and, you know, and pornographic and just, you know, crass. And as we see young people being touched by the Holy Spirit and catching a vision for God's purpose for sex, and also the fact that he's a God of justice and righteousness, they're starting to rise up. But, you know, again, as we say, it comes down to what's happening in the home. And if we as parents are not casting vision for our kids, we're not equipping them to understand these issues, they're going to be hamstrung when they get onto that college campus. So I'm filled with hope.
Mm-hmm. Noel, I am so glad that you are involved in this fight now, and we want you to come and let us meet you face to face, and if we can help, we'd like to be able to do that. But our time is gone for today, so let's just pick up right here next time and talk some more about that pure hope, okay?
You betcha.
Glad to do it.
Okay. Noel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
And in the meantime, listeners can visit drjamesdobson.org to learn more about this ministry, Pure Hope. Luann, they are doing an amazing work when it comes to promoting sexual purity.
And they have some excellent resources for parents who want to try and protect their own children from pornography, or even those who just want to get involved in the fight against human trafficking and the sex industry. To connect with what Pure Hope has to offer, you can simply go to drjamesdobson.org.
Well, they even have a helpline if you're struggling with an addiction to pornography yourself. Find the number at drjamesdobson.org or ask about it when you call us. Our number is 877-732-6825.
And when you call, would you consider a donation to the work of Family Talk? We are committed to addressing the issues that affect your life and family, as you've heard today. But quite honestly, it does take your partnership to keep us on the air.
Well, especially as we get close to the end of the year, this next month will be critical in determining what we're able to do for families in the new year. Learn more about some of the plans in our 1,000 Days of Impact campaign at drjamesdobson.org, where you can also donate. And one last time, our number is 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for sticking it out with us today. We know this is a tough subject to talk about, but so important. So do be with us again next time when we tackle it right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.